Diverse, independent, yours. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Good evening, good night, and good day. I don't know. I'm just trying out all the possible intros one could give. Now we're on the second episode. Welcome again to Minicombe with your host, Caitlin Terrell. I hope everyone's week was doing good. I'm excited today to talk with my friend Nunga Vanasi. And yeah, see what we get into with all of that. And hey, with that being said, here's Was and Always Will Be by Hamilton's own Zoom. That song really, it takes me back to when I was a teenager during COVID. You know, any free few hours I had, I would just go outside and just walk around my neighborhood in Toronto and just like look at the trees, go to the park, look at the sky and just, you know, think about, you know, how I'm in a very, you know, transitional spot. and just kind of be grateful that I have moments like these to like sit and think and reflect. So I need to get back on that at the hike trails up in here so I can listen to this dang album. Now, Zune is a shoegaze band based in Hamilton, Ontario, fronted by two-spirit musician Daniel Monkman, who's Anishinaabe, like me, and would rather categorize Zune as a moccasin gaze band. Obsessed with that. Their 2020 album, Bleached Waves, which this track is featured on, is their most known and was shortlisted finalist for the 2021 Polaris Music Prize. Noted for their lush orchestration, Zune utilized the Anishinaabe teaching of the Seven Grandfathers for Monkman's personal journey with mental health and sobriety, as well as the band's name, which comes from the teaching of bravery and courage. And I'm going to have to hit up my elder to remind me how to pronounce the word, but I have it written down right here. The Seven Grandfather teachings were one of the first Anishinaabe teachings I remember being taught. Around the same time, actually, that I was doing these walks listening to music in my neighborhood. But I specifically remember being taught it by my elder on how there is a distinct difference between bravery and courage. Bravery being external and courage being within oneself. I remember having trouble with that and examining it further in different aspects of my life that I would encounter. We are met with many scenarios or faced with many decisions where we must find the courage to do what we need to do for our internal wellness. I remember navigating this in around 2021. Around this time, I, long story short, had the opportunity to attend a music camp as a trumpet player. Fun fact to me, I play the trumpet. Navigating a whole new space, people who had been going since they were little, skill difference, and navigating nerves while also feeling too old to have these feelings as an 18-year-old at the time. And I also remember, like, that feeling from being the only Indigenous person there, it felt like. I distinctly remember wearing my Noravelle Mariso graphic tee that my dad got me at the AGO. And as I'm walking to rehearsal, I see a staff member carrying a euphonium case and wearing a ribbon skirt. And just feeling okay after that. That next summer, I began working there as a staff myself, and I actually became friends with the person wearing the ribbon skirt. And I'm beyond lucky for that, and I feel extra lucky that he wanted to hop on my show. So a big welcome, Manungmanasi, to Manukmi! Thank you so much for being on my show. I am very excited to talk to you today, especially about the things I would like to touch on. First of all, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes. my name is Anungmanasi. My pronouns are he, him. I am from Treaty 3. I'm Ojibwe. I come from the Wolf Clan. I am a musician. I'm kind of a little bit of a jack of all trades. I'll be honest, like, I work with kids, musician, percussionist specifically. I'm a pretty crafty and handy person, all the kind of things. That's like I'm going to say that's me in a nutshell in terms of very brief and vague things that I do with my time.
Yes, 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 yes. And I'm very happy to say that I have interacted with you in multiple of these aspects of your personality. You mentioned music, and I know the first aspect of your personality that I was, you know, able to interact with was your love for music and you predominantly in music spaces. How did you first take an interest to music?
There's a few. I think the first time I wanted to learn music was when I was a lot younger. I don't remember what age I was, but my oldest sister, she was taking piano lessons. And I was like, well, why does she get to take piano lessons and I don't? And so I started taking piano lessons a bit as a kid. I only did that for about 2 years before I stopped. And then came high school band, which is definitely where I think the love for music and like the idea of studying and learning music became more prominent. Grade 10 specifically, I loved my high school band teacher. She was the one that very much made our high school band program like community based. It wasn't about necessarily following the curriculum and meeting all these musical standards that you have to do every year. based on like the Ontario curriculum. It was just there to have fun. Like people would do the musicals. I did the pit band for the musicals. I was in all the bands. I did like a few different instruments, but in grade 10 specifically, I started with percussion. And it was only because one of the seniors played drum set once during like one of his spares. And he just came into my class and like fooled around like on the drum kit. Mm. And I was like, I want to play the drums. But I'm just like this, like I'm pretty introverted and I might be very loud and like energetic and ambitious. But like in high school, like I was pretty shy kind of like kid. And so it took a lot of convincing myself that I should just do the drums when we picked our top three choices. But I just did it because I was like, oh my God, drums are for like loud, super cool people. And that's not me. But in grade 10, we were playing like a super like simplified version of Jupiter by Holst. The Planets is a massive symphony piece for full orchestra, and Jupiter is each movement's by a planet, and Jupiter specifically has this beautiful section in it that, again, we played a simplified version. And I think that was the first piece I've ever played in band where I just thought it was like so beautiful, and like to this day that will forever be like I call it my it piece. And I just played timpani, which was like super easy, you know, like it's high school band, like I'm in grade 10, like the timpani in the high school are kind of bad. There's no tuning, like really bad mallets and stuff like that. But it just, I mean, granted, like we probably sounded bad because it's high school band to like what I do now. But at the time, I thought it was super magical.
Do you want to know what my like golden piece was in high school band?
Yeah.
I think it was, I don't know if it's called Darlin' or Oh Darlin'. It's a Count like Basie piece, I think, where it's like boom, 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 boom. And it was really slow. I remember we were supposed to do it for like some, like a, it was like the last like live concert we did at my high school before COVID. And I remember that song was like a very, very, very late addition. I remember the whole class was just checked out being like, I don't want to learn this piece. Like, I remember like looking at it and like hearing the song and hearing this attempt to play it and being like, wait, I really like this song. Wait, this is a really good song. And like everyone had like half-assed it because like they didn't have enough time. We did perform it. It wasn't as good. But I was having the time of my life. And it is on the playlist. And it'll forever be on the playlist.
Even in university, like, I've played pieces where I liked way more than probably the majority of the ensemble. And I'm like, maybe you're not hearing what I'm hearing.
See, I feel like I encountered that a lot in high school band. Where I was, like, the one, like, really jiving with the one that everyone's like, okay, get through it, three more minutes. And I was like, damn. But... How would you say, you speak about how music was in university, interacting with it, studying it. How would you articulate the way that your relationship with music, and I guess specifically like music performance, how has that relationship changed from, you say, like your memories from like grade school into where you are right now?
It's quite a roller coaster, I will say. From like high school band was all about community and just hanging out and having a fun time in music class and rehearsals to almost the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Very diagnostic.
Yeah. Like it's so strange, like the way, especially the way that I'm going through my degree now, I think is really interesting, and it's very, very uncommon. So it's kind of scary to navigate and almost a little, I don't want to say awkward to talk about it. It's just a strange way of like, oh, it's going to take me 6 years to do my undergrad. Like, that is the truth because I keep switching schools and I'd never feel happy with where I'm at. But from going to like a super loving community place to when I started university at Lakehead University in Thunder Bay, I had amazing professors in all my lectures. I was a trombone baritone primary student. Like, that was my main instrument.
I remember that.
Right. And I did percussion as a secondary thing. It wasn't even my main thing until my second year of university. And being at a smaller university where my class size was, I think there was seven of us in my class size, and that was spread between performance and music ed. And it was so nice to just have a small class and to have my professors feel like they actually cared a bit more about who I am as a person and like helping me discover things creatively and musically. So it was very nice being at Lakehead. And then I switched universities to go to Western, which is in London, Ontario. And I enjoyed my time there too. I still have like a really good relationship with the professor there and all my studio mates and friends that I've made in ensembles and whatnot. But being in a bigger school was, it was kind of like a slap in the face. I went there to experience more of what percussion has to offer. I was the only percussionist at Lakehead, so I didn't get to experience like any ensemble playing, whether that was like big, larger wind ensembles or percussion ensemble was never something I was going to see at Lakehead. So being at Western, I am grateful that I got to have the opportunity to be in a percussion ensemble, be in a genuine full-sized percussion section in orchestra and all the wind ensembles, and being able to play in an opera pit for the first time was pretty great too. But the slap in the face part really came from how colonial everything is.
And
And
talk
it's
on
not
that
just
and speak on that. We'll get into that even deeper, but
context. I've taken a few classes on music and indigeneity, decolonial practices, and pedagogies. So now that I have been in those spaces, it's so much easier to see it everywhere I go. And because of that, I moved all the way across Ontario from where I was. It's like a 19-hour drive from where I was living. I'm in a new area with different cultures. They speak a different language than I do. Their traditions are slightly different than mine, even though I'm Indigenous and Ojibwe, and in theory or whatever, all of Turtle Island is my home, but my home will be Treaty 3 and always will be. So being in Southern Ontario was a big, like, difference as well.
I mean, not to be like, oh, imagine how I feel, but like, girl, in BC, mama, I'm just looking around being like,
Yeah.
it's very much,
Like you
it's
feel like a visitor.
you feel like a visitor, but also you feel like you're like a whining child, where it's
Yeah.
like you're still on Turtle Island, you're still in Canada, and like there's still indigenous people to the land. You should feel already like a connection, but you have to acknowledge there are distinct differences. And obviously, that's not a negative thing, but it definitely changes how you navigate the land that you are currently inhabiting. That really struck a chord with me because I just.
Exactly. So I'm in this new school. I'm in this new place with different cultures, and it was lonely. And being in that kind of institute where, for more context, I'm 25, I'm at Western, and I'm like 24 years old, like, right? 23, 24. Like, I am older than almost everyone in an undergrad program. So it is hard to find people of my age and that can relate to like living on their own for a few years, owning a car, paying bills, having a full-time job, all those types of things. And the colonial aspect of like school at Lakehead, because it's so small, you can afford to be emotionally connected with your students, right? At Western, I'm in a class of probably almost 70 students. I don't talk to my professor, I talk to my TA. And it's so tricky. And the slap in the face part is I very much like learning about music and all the different cultures, especially percussion. Like most of what I do in percussion comes from other places. And being able to see and learn and think about ways to improve and decolonize the way that we're learning and teaching in a way that actually works for not just Indigenous people, but everyone. It's hard to be in this place that isn't trying to do that. They don't even care to hear you out because they're going to hear you out, and then there nothing's going to happen because they have to worry about planning concerts every few months,
The
making sure all these things,
disconnection.
blah blah blah.
The disconnection is very potent, if you would say.
Yeah.
You definitely answered my other question, which was like, would you say that academia had a part in your changed perception of music?
Absolutely.
And how it does it not? And how does it not? Because, like,
right?
I'll say this until it's the last word I say. Music and all arts were simply just a human behavior. And, like, obviously, it's great that we have schools of thought and, like, institutions in which, you know, you're able to condense this information in a way that it's passable on to multiple bodies, you know, on the subject of music and, you know, the history. But you can't deny how sullen it becomes under that structure.
It's hard to talk about it to non-music people. Especially when you study music, a lot of, like, the characteristics of the genre of classical music is kind of how robotic it is and square and straight to the point, and it's not as, like, emotional, right? And then you get into different eras, like, honestly, even Baroque is better than classical in that sense.
I've been saying that. I love Baroque. I love me some Baroque.
I love hate Baroque. Love hate. Some of it I don't enjoy, but I do. I say that, but I'm a really big fan of Bach.
Okay.
So as much as I might be like, oh, I don't really like Baroque, I'll be like, but Bach though.
This kind of also goes into my next question that you kind of articulate a little bit, but we can dig into it some more. What exactly is your relationship with classical music as an Indigenous person?
Interesting, different. It changes all the time. If it comes to a school setting, It's always love-hate. When it comes down to it, it's love-hate. Classical music, maybe at the very, like, surface level, is, oh my god, I have to practice to be good. Oh my god, it's not musical, and it's everything has to be precise and rhythmically. Everything has to be right all the time, is the idea with classical music. And this isn't just the genre, it's just
the
orchestral instrumental music as a whole. Classical music is seen as this prestige thing. Kids are learning how to play piano at the age of 4 or 3. It's this expectation that you need to be at a grade 6 or 8 level on your primary instrument just to enter university. Like, tell me that's not gatekeeping.
I probably already talked this to you, but I remember, like, how I felt applying to work at the camp that we work at. When I was applying to work as a trumpet staff, I had to put my RCM level on my application for this job, but I was like, girl, my parents did not have RCM money.
Yep.
All y'all had RCM money? That's crazy.
Right.
And, like, of course, I was blessed enough to go to school in which I was able to, I had the privilege to really offer a lot of time to my instrument and have a lot of teachers that were very helpful and gave me certain, you know, leverage in that instrument that I wouldn't have otherwise. There were still barriers, and the barriers are also, a lot of the time, money. And I feel like that's where all the disconnect comes for me, especially as a low-income Indigenous person living in urban modern-day Toronto.
I will say that especially this past year and a half or so of studying percussion performance as an Indigenous person has been like tug of war. And I think a lot of it just comes down to, like, the learning environment and my mentors, which, again, I have a really good relationship with my mentor, even to this day. Like, we still keep in contact. Like, it's not like this big professional falling out or anything. I decided to take a break from my degree to kind of re-root in my home and my culture from being away for so long and really reevaluating my values with music and, like, what I'm doing. We're trying to do and all these things, and he understood that, which was nice. But I learned these pieces, and when I learn a piece, it's my relationship with my music, it's my relationship with my body, right? It's my relationship with my learning. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky to have to go into a private lesson once a week, and I had 1.5-hour lessons. It can be hard to fill time sometimes when it's just I couldn't find the discipline to practice because the practice was getting to be so robotic and it was taking out all the fun of learning. Being in an environment where I didn't have my family around with me, I didn't have my culture around me, I didn't have the, like, support group that I've had before, it starts to become so, what am I relying on? Like, all the external factors of my life are so different, and it's hard to navigate it on my own, to the point where my connections, my relationships with my music and my practice was definitely taking the hit.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, here's Nature Song for the Time Being by Fontaine. Hope you enjoy.
Walking through the fields of yellow, I stumbled upon one lonely flower. Her petals were facing the sun. She grew up so tall, nothing could make that thing fall. Till someone came along and said, I want that one in my bed, and took her home.
School season. If you have unused tech in your home or office, consider donating it to BC Technology for Learning Society so schools, nonprofit organizations, and low-income individuals can have better access to technology. Donating is safe, easy, and helps people in your community. If you want to donate or to request refurbished equipment, you can learn more at reusetechbc.ca.
We'll be right back. Who doesn't love music?